the first six chapters are actually interconnections between karma and jnana, in which the starting point is jnana. It is by jnana that sat is ultimately realized, immortality. In the very second chapter, karma is introduced. And although the second chapter ends with some kind of emphasis on knowledge, which causes a problem in the mind of Arjuna and says that if you think that knowledge is superior to action, then why do you throw me into this ghora karma? Then the third chapter gives you an explanation of the relationship between knowledge and action. And then he says that although the path of knowledge is a path which can lead you to the top, action also leads you to the top, but I prefer the path of action. Why does he prefer that path of action? Because the standpoint is the standpoint of the war in which all of them are engaged. And the question that Arjuna has raised is as to what I should do in regard to the war. So the question there is related to his action, what am I to do? So if your standpoint is of an action, then action is preferable because you are here. So that is the fundamental point that is made in the third chapter, and then the whole karma yoga is expounded. In the second chapter also there is an exposition of karma yoga, but it is only preliminary. We had said already that second chapter of karma yoga only tells you that without desire for fruits of action, you act. You have a right only to action and not to the fruits of action. Second, that you have to attain to equality, samatvam yoga uchyate. And even when you do not have desire of fruits of action, do not neglect action. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. These three statements are the important statements of karma yoga that are found in the second chapter. In the third chapter we have now an exposition of karma, that even with regard to action towards which you have been told you have a right, even that action you really don't have the right. And the whole third chapter is explained as to what is karma. And it is explained that the whole karma is nothing but a sacrifice. The whole world is only a sacrifice. The sat has made a sacrifice, as a result of which chit is broken up, as it were, from its immobility and made mobile. So the whole world is actually the sacrifice of the Supreme. And then there is a cycle. Because the sat has sacrificed himself and action has emerged out of it, all of us who are in the midst of action, they always turn towards the sat. It is a cycle. We are all thrown up by that reality and then we return to it. And he throws up and we again return to it. This is the cycle. And this cycle is represented by action. So action starts from whom? From the divine. So you don't have even the right to action. Therefore, considering this principle, when you think I am the doer, you offer it back to the divine, because that is the real reality. So karma yoga is nothing but offering to the divine, sacrifice yourself to God. To the divine. This is the central teaching of the third chapter. And then at the end of the third chapter we have the secret manifestation of the end of this movement of yajna. When you reach the highest level of yajna again and again, repeat again and again, then you will realize that you are not the doer. Supreme is the doer. And you are only the instrument of the divine. In other words, you become born into the divine and you have the capacity of doing the divine's action. Or you can say the divine acts himself through you. So, divyam janma, divyam karma, that is the starting point of the fourth chapter. So, it is as it were a culmination of the karma yoga is to be found in the fourth chapter. And therefore Sri Krishna says that actually speaking, the divyam janma, the divine birth, in which you now no more feel that you are an actor, that is called the divine birth, you enter into the divine consciousness, in which you do not feel that you are the doer, you are the anything in fact, you are only an agent. When this consciousness arises, you are born, divyam janma. And then, having reached that state of consciousness, whatever happens is divyam karma, in that state of consciousness, not in our present state of consciousness. When we reach that state of consciousness, then whatever happens is divyam karma. In order to explain this, Sri Krishna gives his own example and says, look, my consciousness is divine, and my consciousness manifests itself in action. And if you examine me, you will find what is divine consciousness and what is divine action. So he gives his own example. It is in that context that we have the whole philosophy of avatar, in which Sri Krishna says, if you really want to know what is divine consciousness and what is divine action, you will attain best when you know the secret of avatar, on which we dwelt at length. In which, now the important point that is left at the end of all this teaching is that you cannot attain to divine birth and divine action unless you consciously know the divine birth and divine action. There is no such thing as being unconscious and yet you are in divine birth and divine action. It is only when you are fully aware, when the chit shakti, shakti becomes aware of chit, and chit is united with sat, only in that condition you have the real divine consciousness, divine action. Therefore now the remainder of the fourth chapter is in praise of knowledge. You cannot have the divine birth and divine action without you possess the knowledge. And this is where we are now.